ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತಿ. ತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಚತುರ್ದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯಃ. ವಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸಾ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಗುಣಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ. ದೇ ಬೈಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್. They only contribute for the bandage, samsara. They contribute for samsara means, they bind a person means, when the I sense, the manifest knowledge obtaining in the mind, is identified with the anatma, the three gunas in the form of body, mind, sense complex. Three gunas, sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, are there in the form of all the matter, material products. Then we call it ahankaraha. Then a person becomes bound by samsara. So how do the three gunas bind a person? Each guna has its own nature, lakshanam, and each guna binds a person. We say sattva guna is very important. Sattva guna, a person has to become predominantly sattvic in order to be able to understand the teaching, to attain jnanam, to attain liberation also. A person who is predominantly tamasic cannot attain jnanam, cannot assimilate the teaching, cannot enjoy the benefit of the knowledge also. Therefore, predominantly tamasic person must become first rajasic, then he must become sattvic. Thereby he'll become qualified for the attainment of knowledge. Only then, only in jnanam a person becomes liberated. But merely being sattvic, even if a person is predominantly sattvic, still if a person is ajnani, still he will be bound. It is not enough if a person becomes predominantly sattvic. Even after then, jnanam is important. Only in jnanam a person becomes liberated. Otherwise, there's no, without the elimination of, resolution of ignorance, there's no way of a person becoming free from bondage. So, this to resolve the samsara, to free oneself from bondage of samsara, this life of transmigration, a person has to resolve the ignorance. To resolve the ignorance, one needs only jnanam. But for jnanam, which is the mind which is most conducive, suitable, a predominantly sattvic person is said to be the one who is predominantly sattvic minded. So everyone must have all three gunas. Therefore, even if a person is predominantly sattvic also, he is still ajnani. He is also bound. Why? The gunas are of the nature of binding. When ajnanam is there, you will be helplessly, you will have identity. In wrong identity, you are bound. Again, what is bondage here? Dependence is bondage. Independence is freedom. Dependence is bondage. Independence is freedom. Which means, unless a person becomes free from ignorance, a person resolves the ignorance, as long as ajnanam is there, okay, all three gunas, it is natural for one to be bound by one's own predominant guna. Sattva gunaha also binds a person. Rajo gunaha also binds a person. Tamo gunaha also binds a person. Natural. All gunas bind. Bind means what? All gunas, in ignorance, gunas make you become helplessly dependent. Dependence is bondage. Please take it for granted. Dependence is bondage. So how does sattva guna, if a person is ignorant, sattva guna also binds. How does sattva guna bind? That is what is said in the sixth verse. Let us see the verse now.
Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakamanamayam சுகசங்கேன பத்னாதி ஞானசங்கேன சானக. தத்ர சத்வம் நிர்மலத்வாத் பிரகாஷகமநாமயம் சுகசங்கேன பத்னாதி ஞானசங்கேன சானக.
சோ இஸ் த்ரீ வர்சஸ், verse number 6, 7 and 8, in three verses, Bhagavan presents the nature of each guna and how each guna binds a person. Whom can these gunas bind? Any guna can bind only if a person is ignorant. Ignorance is the root cause of the bondage. If ignorance is there, there will be helplessly dependence. Dependence is bondage. A symptom of expression of bondage. Therefore, first in this verse, sixth verse, Krishna says, what is the, how do we understand, how does Sattva Guna expresses itself? How do you understand what is Sattva Guna? Sattva Guna is in the form of the capacity to understand. Sattva Guna is in the form of brilliance. Sattva Guna is in the form of clarifying, in the form of clarity. Sattva Guna is in the form of, so it's all Sattva Guna's Lakshanam. Sattva, why? Because, which suggests, what is Sattva Gunam? He says, what is Sattva Gunam? Sattva Gunam is that which is not mixed with Rajoguna and Tamoguna. The Sattva Guna, which is a pure Sattva Guna, which is not mixed with or contaminated by are polluted by other two gunas, is said to be Sattva Gunaha. How, what is Sattva Guna? How is it in the form? Sattva Guna is in the form of pure Sattva Gunaha. So Nirmalatvam, Sattva Guna has Nirmalatvam. It has purity. Purity in the sense it is not mixed with other gunas. If it is not mixed with other gunas, then it is capable of what? Illumining, Prakashakam. And then also, Anamayam. Prakashakam, it is bright, it is brilliant, it is illumining. And Anamayam means, Amayaha means disease. Anamayaha means diseaseless. But here, we should not take literally as disease. It does not do any harm. Does not afflict. Anamayam means unafflicting, non-harming or harmless. So, Sattva Guna, if is in the form of the brilliance, the clarity, the illuminating, it's a harmless, that is the nature of the Sattva Guna. If you, suppose there's no Adharma Buddhi, being harmless, not entertaining harming nature, is also harmlessness. Being a harmless person implies what? That person is predominantly sattvic-minded, sattvic person, being a harmless person. And also very sharp, very bright. He's able to understand, less a clarity. And then, which means those things imply, they're all expressions of predominance of Sattva Guna. So Sattva Guna, if it is not, it is not mixed with other gunas, as a pure Sattva Guna, Sattva Guna is the nature of the Sattva Guna. So, Nirmalatvatu Prakashakam Anamayam. There's Anamayam in the sense, it is unafflicting, harmless means. There's recognition of Dharma will be there. Anamayam. And such, having said that, in the first line, second line, Krishna says, how does Sattva Guna bind? Sattva Guna is very good or what? Sattva Guna also will bind. As long as ignorance is there, Sattva Guna also will bind. Sattva Guna, how does it bind? Sattva Guna also makes you dependent. Okay, Sattva Guna binds means Sattva Guna makes you dependent. Because of the wrong identity, because of the ignorance, there's wrong identity. The person may be predominantly sattvic, but still, because of his ignorance, wrong identity being there, he's still dependent on external sources for his happiness and solution, security. That's what is bondage. Dependence is bondage. So, but what is this person dependent on? A predominantly sattvic person also is not self-dependent for his happiness and security. Because of his ignorance, he's at least he's light-minded, he's brilliant person, he's much brighter, much sharper, he can understand things easily, he's harmless person, highly concerned about dharma, everything is fine. But still, this person also is dependent for his happiness. But he is dependent on what? Dependent on external situation. In what situation? The difference is only in what he is dependent on, different from other people, other gunas. So he is dependent on sukha sangena badhnati. Sukha sangena badhnati. Jnana sangena cha anaga. First of all, jnana sangaha means dependence upon knowledge. Knowledge of, depends upon knowing more things. These the people who are, the ignorant person who is predominantly sattvic will not be satisfied at all whatever he knows. No? He will be interested more in knowing more and more and more and more things. Very curious, very inquisitive, wanting to know more always. And suppose there are people who are very happy with something, some simple things. But this person, being predominantly sattvic, he cannot be satisfied with simple things. He will always like to know more. So highly inclined for knowing things. It may be in the field, whatever the person is interested in, maybe in the science or technology or mathematics, any field. They always be more interested in knowing whatever he knows. He, in the same field, he would like to know more. Always there is dissatisfaction with the knowledge. So that he would like to know more. Which means the dissatisfaction is unhappiness. He is dependent on knowing more and more and more and more things for his happiness. That is how sukha sangena badhnati. Okay. Sukha sangaha means what? Attachment to knowledge is called sukha sangaha. Sorry, jnana sangaha. Attachment to knowledge is jnana sangaha. Sangaha means attachment. What is attachment? Dependence. This person is dependent on knowledge, knowing more and more and more, enhancing his knowledge, the different fields of knowledge for his happiness and security. This person also still dependent on knowing things. Wanting to know is very natural. That's a different thing. But this person, he will be very, very dissatisfied. It will make him unhappy. He'll feel irritated. He'll get upset if he cannot know. Which means he's so desperate. He's dependent on, he's knowing more or always getting to know more for his happiness and security. Therefore, what is it which binds this person? Jnana sangaha. There's a jnana sangaha. So, predominance of sattva guna binds a person, okay, with an attachment to knowledge. Is it clear now? Attachment to knowledge. Jnana sangena badhnati. Not only that, this person who is predominantly sattvic, because he's interested in knowing more and he wants to think all the time, highly thoughtful person, therefore thoughtful in the sense, always given to thinking and all that, brilliant minded. Therefore what happens? He will like quietude. He will like calmness. He will not like screaming. He will not like all those things because of the nature is like that. And then suppose that the person happens to be in an atmosphere where it's very noisy. This person naturally get very restless. Okay, he cannot handle the situation. Suppose where there's noise, where there's a crowd, where there is too much of talking. And this person, he cannot think for himself. Then that person who naturally, because of the predominance of guna, because of the inclination to know more, naturally the person likes a quietude, calmness, okay, seclusion, solitude. That's the nature of the person. Because of the sattva guna, sattva can make up sattva guna's nature. And sometimes people get irritated and get angry when other people are very nonsense, okay. That's also a problem. Sattva guna also causes, you can understand, highly sattvic person gets angry. Yes, because this person cannot stand ignorance, cannot stand the nonsense. simple people be very naive. So what to do? We have to accept. But which means this person is dependent on brilliance, intelligence, talent and talent, no? Then even the quiet atmosphere, suppose in a noisy place, this person cannot handle. Which means he gets upset. He is disturbed. He is dependent on quiet atmosphere for his happiness. Okay, that's what Sukha Sangha means. Quiet, calm atmosphere. He is called Sukha Sangha, Sukham. So, Sukha Sangena, this Sattvaguna binds a person with attachment to quiet, calm, okay, atmosphere. It's called Sukha Sangena Badhnati, which means this person is dependent on external quietude, external calm, external peaceful atmosphere for his happiness. Still, he is not self-dependent. Even though he is a brilliant person, intelligent person, inclined for knowing, and he is still, his dependency is for his happiness. He is dependent on what? Knowing more or excellent atmosphere. Excellent atmosphere in the sense external quiet atmosphere. Calm atmosphere. Which means is called Sukha Sangena, Jnana Sangena, Badhnati. Means even Sattvaguna, okay, binds a person. That does not mean one should not become sattvic. One has to become predominantly sattvic, but a predominantly sattvic minded person should be given to the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam, so that he can, it will be, that's why it is a good food for thought. For a predominantly sattvic minded person, good food for thought. What will satisfy him? You know, pursuit of jnanam will satisfy him. And then that will also help him and attain the jnanam. That will help him shift his dependence from external quietude, external calmness, external quiet atmosphere, or knowing more and more of things in the world. That will liberate a person from dependence, free him from dependence upon external knowing worldly things or calm atmosphere for his happiness. Because in jnanam, a sattvic minded person will become self-dependent. And if jnanam is not there, ignorance is there, even a sattvic minded person who is eligible to attain jnanam, who is a sattvic mind is eligible to attain jnanam. To be given to the pursuit of jnanam. But if he doesn't have jnanam, still he will be bound. So, sukha sangena, jnana sangena, sattva gunaha, manushyam badnati, katham badnati, okay, kena badnati. It binds a person with what? It binds a person with his attachment to knowledge, attachment to calm, quiet atmosphere is what is the meaning of the verse number 6. Then, if we go to the next verse,
Rajo ragatmakam viddhi trishna sanga samudbhavam trishna sanga samudbhavam Tannibadhnati Kaunteya Karma Sangena Dehinam Rajoragatmakam Viddhi Trishna Sanga Samudbhavam Tannibadhnati Kaunteya Karma Sangena Dehinam.
So in the 7th verse, Krishna talks about the nature of the Rajoguna. And how does Rajoguna bind a person? So, Rajaha Ragatmakam. No? How can you understand what is Rajoguna? You cannot see through physicalized Rajoguna. Okay? Let me see what is Rajoguna. What is the color of it? Let me see how Rajoguna look. If you go and search for Rajoguna, you cannot find it. Rajoguna expresses itself in the form of passion. In the form of desire. See, sattvic minded person also has desire. I'm not saying he doesn't have desire, but what binds him is the different. He is dependent on different things. He is dependent on calm atmosphere, quiet atmosphere, knowing more for his happiness. Whereas this Rajoguna happens, the Rajoguna is in the form of desire, passion. So Ragatmakam, Ragaha means, literally it means attachment. So here we take it as strong desire. Strong desire. When I say attachment, I mean dependence. So here, Rajaha Ragatmakam. Rajas is in the form of passion. Rajas alone expresses itself in the form of passion. Then, may you, Arjuna, may you understand, Rajoguna is what? In the form of passion, desire, strong desire. Then, Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. It means, Rajoguna is the Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. Now, is something called attachment, you know, dependence. Dependence itself is caused by Rajoguna. Desire is caused, these desire, simple desire, any desire is expression of Rajoguna only. Likes and dislikes, desire, any degree of desire, strong desire, passion, simple desire, greed. Look at desire in different degrees, likes and dislikes, are what? It's all expressions of Rajoguna. So Rajaha Ragatmakam Viddi, then Trishna. Trishna means craving. In the form of attachment, dependence, in the form of the desire, passion, desire, any degree of desire in any degree, any form. Strong desire, passion, desire, likes and dislikes, all products of Rajoguna. Rajoguna is in the form of. Even you see, desire, what is desire? And also anger. Desire, also anger. They're all expressions of Rajoguna. Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. It is, it alone, Samudbhavam means it is from this Rajoguna, desire comes. Otherwise, there cannot be something called desire at all. Then, how does the Rajoguna bind a person? Tat nibadhnati, tan nibadhnati, tat nibadhnati. You can make it what sandhi that is. Okay. Tat nibadhnati, tan nibadhnati. Homework. Make a note and find outward what is the sandhi that is. Tat, tad nibadhnati, tan nibadhnati. Okay. Now, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, he says, karma sangena dehinam. Naturally, karma means activity. Karma means action, not karma phalam. Karma means any action. See, once a desire arises, Rajoguna expresses itself in the form of a desire. Once a desire arises, passion is there, attachment is there, strong desire is there, likes and dislikes are there. Naturally, there'll be what? The person will be impelled to do action. So activity itself is expression of Rajoguna. That is why even a highly predominant person also must have Rajoguna. Okay, but what is this person predominantly? That is what we say. So Rajas, if a person, Rajoguna expresses itself in the form of lot of activities. You see a person who cannot sit for quietly at all for some time, he has to be doing, all the time has to be doing something or the other. Means Rajas. Rajasic, high Rajasic person. Mental restlessness also is expression of Rajas only. Okay. So highly sattvic person also gets restless because he wants no more. That is, the restlessness because Rajas backs. That's a different thing. But what I'm saying here, naturally, physically the person cannot sit. You can see people who are very workaholics, they cannot sit at all. Something other you must be doing. That's also symptom of this rajas. Nothing wrong. We have to be objective to understand what is rajas. All of us must have rajas. If rajas is not there, you'll be sitting like this, like a stone. Okay? You won't be moving. So nobody, movement, activity means rajas. Rajas expressed in the form of all movements and all activities. So the desire to do, this person is dependent on performing activities, doing something or the other. Yeah? Or the other for his happiness and security. If a person does not do any activity, he feels very insecure. He'll feel very unhappy. This person, the person who is predominantly rajasic, is dependent on doing activities for his happiness. See, performing actions is a must. But being dependent on performance of activity for his happiness is called bondage. Is clear now what is bondage? I'm not saying you should not do action. If you are dependent, see, in jnanam, I'm repeating this again, very important lesson. In jnanam, a jnani, physically what he is doing is different. But emotionally, he is not dependent on activities for his happiness. He is not dependent on knowing more for his happiness. He is not dependent on external atmosphere, quiet atmosphere for his happiness. Wherever he is, however he is, whether he is doing, he is not doing, still he is happy because he is dependent on his own self for his happiness. Because the person has discovered one's own self as the happiness, one's own nature as happiness. So jnani who has discovered one's own nature being happiness is absolutely independent. Even though he is doing externally things, whatever he has to be doing. But here, once ajnanam is there, then ajnani person, if he is predominantly sattvic, how he is dependent? What he is dependent on, we have seen. So in this what Krishna says, this ajnani person who is predominantly rajasic is dependent on performance of activities, doing something, accomplishing something, achieving something, all the time doing something for his happiness. He must be doing something. Nothing is there to do. He'll get restless. He'll be very unhappy. He's dependent. Therefore, he says, karma sangena badhanati. Rajoguna binds a person with an attachment to activities. Being attached to activities means what? Being attached to activities means this person is dependent on activities for his happiness. Puja Swami used to say, sometimes people who are predominant, very rajasic people, somehow they're not ready for Shastra study. And they come to Gurukulam. And there also after coming there, and then they'll be asking Swamiji, shall I do this? Shall I do this? Why can't we do this? They give some ideas. Why can't we do this? Swamiji said that, okay, you have come here to study. You should study quietly. Okay, don't worry about it. Then even then he wants to do something in the ashram also. See, we need to have people to do things. What I'm saying, the inclination saying, a predominantly rajasic person has to do something. He must, because he's dependent on doing something for his happiness. That is because this is how rajas binds a person with an attachment to karma, performance of activities for his happiness. Predominantly rajasic. And rajas is in the form of what? Rajas expresses itself in the form of desire, anger, passion, you know, greed. It's all different degrees of desire, in ultimate expressions of rajoguna. Now you can understand what is desire. Rajoguna is in the form of desire. So who does not have desire? Everybody has desire. Everywhere rajas is there. But the person who is predominantly rajasic, naturally he'll be more inclined for activities. He is dependent. What is he dependent on for his happiness? This person is not dependent on quiet atmosphere. This person is not dependent on, you know, knowing more. He doesn't, whether he knows or he is happy. He doesn't know. He doesn't need to know more for him for his happiness. But he must do more for his happiness. See, both are dependent. The sattvic person also is dependent for his happiness. But what is he dependent on? He's dependent on reading more. He will look for, suppose even if a person goes to any part of the world, is any library around? Can I get some books? Nothing wrong. Still, he cannot, he then, oh, that inclination. People go buy books and what, then always you see the, any magazine, they'll search for new releases, new book reviews they read because they have to buy more. That is all inclinations. So what they're interested in, they differs. Is what, this is how Rajoguna binds a person. Next. Okay. Interesting. Tate kau karma sangena dehinam nibadhanati. Now it's a clean sentence. What is of the dehinam? Nakaranta shabda pullinga shabda dehinam badhanati. Kim badhanati? Rajogunaha dehinam badhanati. Katam badhanati? Karma sangena. So Rajoguna binds a person with an attachment to action. Attachment to action means this person is dependent on performance of activities for his happiness. That is what is dependence is attachment. I want to remember. Now, next, if you see, next verse. Tamas tvajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. Tamas tvajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. Pramadalasya nidrabhihi tannibadhnati bharata. Pramadalasya nidrabhihi tannibadhnati bharata. Tamahattu ajnanajam. Okay, tamahattu ajnanajam vidhi. Arjuna understand the tamoguna. Tamoguna is what? Tamoguna is, of course, Tamoguna is born of Ajnana, means what? Ignorance. Tamoguna is there. And Tamoguna, what does Tamoguna do? Sarva Dehinam Mohanam. Where Tamoguna is there, there is dullness, there is ignorance. All of us have Tamoguna. Dullness, ignorance, sleep, there are associated expressions of Tamoguna. So, ajnanajam, it is born of ignorance, that is fine. So, ignorance means here, ignorance actually means here, please make a note, ignorance here means prakriti. All the gunas are born of prakriti only, not only tamoguna. But still, we say it is the, specifically it is said, this tamoguna, sarva dehinam mohanam. Dehi means all the embodied beings. Sarva Dehinam, of all embodied beings, means all human beings. Embodied beings. Sarva Dehinam. You see, Mohanam. Mohayeti iti Mohanam. Mohanam is means that which deludes. It is the Tamoguna which contributes for delusion. Okay. Delusion is always lack of discriminative understanding in many things. Even simple things people do not understand properly. That is because of the tamoguna only. So, tamas, how does tamas delude a person? Tamas alone, whenever there's delusion, you can understand there's a tamas. That's an expression of tamoguna. You can't see tamoguna physically through your eyes. Tamoguna is in the form of confusion, delusion. It's all tamoguna. Desire is there, rajoguna. It's in, and all of us, all these gunas are there. But how it is? Tamoguna is in the form of deluding. That which deludes is tamoguna. So, sarva dehinam mohanam, sarvan dehinaha mohayeti iti sarva dehinam mohanam. It deludes all the beings in the form of delusion. And it's of course, it is also product of prakriti anyway. And then how does this, if a person is predominantly tamasic, the predominantly tamasic, see all of us sleep, all of us want rest sometimes. But the person who is predominantly tamasic is not dependent on activity for his happiness. If you ask him to do things, we get angry because he is dependent on not doing anything. for his happiness. He wants to escape from work. You can see people who escape from works and lazy, idle, you know, and then these people are dependent on sleeping a lot also for their happiness. Sometimes, of course, you have to sleep well. You need good rest. You need 8 hours of sleep. That's okay. But these people, you know, sleep, they're more dependent on sleeping more, resting more, not doing any, not physically exerting more, being lazy, being idle. In being lazy, they're happy. In being idle, they're very happy. Then depend on not doing things happy. So lazy people, if you feed them, they'll be very happy. Even to open your mouth, you put your finger and open the mouth and feed, they'll be happy also. What I'm saying, they're not interested in doing things. So these people are dependent. Again, dependence is what? These people are dependent, they're not dependent on their own swarupam for happiness. They are dependent on not doing things, being lazy, being idle, no, not exerting too much. Such people, they are dependent. This is how tamoguna binds a person with an attachment to inactivity, laziness, dull, okay, laziness. And sleep also. Nidra, alasyam, very nice. Krishna used very beautiful words. Pramadaha, pramada, alasya. Nidrabihi tamogunaha badnati. So tamoguna binds a person. How? Pramada. Pramada means what? Procrastination. Anything you give them tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination, and also neglecting things, ignoring things, not being responsible. That pramadaha, neglecting things, negligence. And alasyam, laziness. Nidra, sleep. Okay, nidra, sleep. This is how tamoguna binds a person by these things. Means tamoguna binds a person with an attachment. Okay, making him dependent on this negligence, laziness, sleep, etc. This is how three gunas are expressed. Tamas tvajnanajam viddhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramada alasya nidrabhihi tannibadhnati bharata. Okay, again, having said that, in those three verses, so 7, 6, 7, and 8, in three verses, Krishna said, how each guna expresses itself, in which form the guna obtain. The sattva guna obtains in the form of knowledge, knowing, clarity, etc. Rajoguna expresses in the form of desire, anger, etc. And also tamoguna expresses itself in the form of ignorance, dullness, sleep, etc. And also how it binds a person, it makes a person dependent on something other than oneself for one's happiness. Sattva-guna also makes a person other than oneself, make a person dependent on something else for one's happiness. That is why each guna is said to be binding a person. Is it clear what I'm saying? Is it clear? Okay. Now, in the following 9th verse, Krishna, he sums up all the 3 verses. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati rajah karmani bharata. Jnanamavrutya tu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuta. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati rajah karmani bharata. Jnanamavrutya tu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuta. So again, the word sanjayati also means badhnati. Actually, jayaha means victory. Sanjayaha means victory also. But sanjayati, not here. This here, it means binds a person. So, sattva guna binds a person. Rajoguna also binds a person. Tamoguna also binds a person. all three gunas are there in on the part of every human being. But whichever guna is predominant, accordingly a person's dependence for his happiness and security is dependent on the predominance of guna. Okay, that's why all are bound. The predominantly sattvic minded, predominantly rajasic minded, predominantly tamasic minded, all are bound because all are ignorant. An ignorant person is bound, but what they are dependent on for happiness, that only differs. Okay. Sattvic person dependent on something else. Ajasic person dependent on something else for his happiness. This is how, in keeping with the predominance of the gunas, the dependence, what they are dependent on differs person to person. But dependence is the common thing. They all are bound. Okay. What liberates a person? Only jnanam will liberate a person. Krishna wants us to understand it. It's a very beautiful the chapter. We'll see a lot of things here. Now, first he begins like this. Therefore, now the what he has given already in 3 verses, he sums up in this 9th verse. So how does sattvaguna bind? Sattvagunaha sukhe sanjayati. Sattvaguna binds a person, okay, to pleasure, enjoyment of pleasure, enjoyment of happiness. That the person binds a person. Sukham implies also what? This sattvaguna binds a person to calm, quiet atmosphere. Then rajaha karmani. Rajoguna binds a person to performance of activities. Okay. Performance or activities. Karmani. So rajoguna binds a person to activities. Then tamaha, what does tamoguna do? Tamaha, jnanam avritya tamoguna, covering one's discriminative capacity, discerning power. Tamoguna, jnanam, please understand here, the word jnana means buddhi. Buddhi here means discerning power, discriminative knowledge. Tamoguna always covering, veiling the discerning capacity, binds a person to, pramade, binds a person to negligence, which implies laziness, inactivity. Pramade sanjayati. Anyway, all three gunas bind. Rajas tamas chabhibhoya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tatha. Rajas tamas chabhibhoya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamasattvam rajastatha. So here Krishna says, rajaha tamaha cha abhibhuya sattvam bhavati. See, sattva bhavati means sattvam is there. How sattvam is? Sattvam is there, overpowering rajoguna and tamoguna. Abhibhuya, abhibhavati means overcomes, overpowers. See the verb abhibhavati. Bhavati, you prefix abhi. Abhibhavati means overpowers. What overpowers? What? Sattva guna overpowers. Abhibhuya, indicable participle. Overpowering rajoguna and tamoguna. Sattva guna is. So sattva guna is there, overpowering rajoguna and tamoguna. Rajaha tamaha cha abhibhuya sattvam bhavati. Bharata, Krishna addresses Arjuna as Bharata, O Arjuna. How sattvaguna manifests? Sattvaguna manifests by overpowering rajoguna and tamoguna. Then rajaha sattvam tamas chaiva. How does rajoguna exist, how does Rajoguna manifest? He says, Rajoguna also bhavati, you have to supply. Rajaha bhavati sattvam tamascheva. Rajoguna also manifests itself, overpowering sattvaguna and tamoguna. Then tamaha sattvam rajastatha. So tamoguna also manifests, overpowering sattvaguna and rajoguna. Each and every guna is capable of manifesting itself, overpowering the other two gunas. Sattva guna manifests, overpowering rajasan, by overpowering rajasan tamas. Rajoguna manifests itself by overpowering sattva guna and tamoguna. Tamoguna manifests itself, overpowering rajoguna and sattva guna. Like this, each and every power is capable of manifesting itself by overpowering other two gunas. See, what he conveys in this important lesson, what he conveys is, all that is here is nothing but constituted of three gunas. Everything in this universe is constituted of three gunas. Why? Everything is essentially matter. Everything in the world can be reduced to matter. Everything is a material product. Everything is what? Prakriti karyam. Prakriti janyam. Therefore, everything is what? Nothing but constituted of three gunas. Now, whether an ordinary inert thing, or you can see any non-living thing or a living being. A non-living thing also is nothing but prakriti matter. And a living being also is, living creature is also nothing but matter. And what about if you see the tiniest ant creature, it's also body is matter. And then you can see the human being is said to be the most sophisticated being. He's also physically what? What is body minus complex? Matter. So all the living beings and the non-living beings are nothing but material products. All are prakriti janya, prakriti janyam. Everything is prakriti janyam, prakriti karyam. But everything is prakriti. Only what is the difference between a living being and non-living thing? The living being, consciousness is manifest. The non-living thing, consciousness is not manifest. That's the only difference. Consciousness is manifest means there's a living being. If consciousness is not manifest, it's a non-living thing. Non-living thing also, consciousness is. It is not manifest. So life implies manifestation of consciousness in matter. So if there is consciousness manifest in an inert material product, then there is a life. We call it a living being. If there's no consciousness manifest there, then we call it an inert being. So inert being also is nothing but matter. A living being is also nothing but matter. Only difference is, in both there is consciousness. In a living being and non-living thing, consciousness is all pervasive. Consciousness and matter are inseparably mingled. You cannot separate it. It's like light in the opaque things. Consciousness pervades everything in the matter. Only difference is manifestation. If there's a manifestation of consciousness, then that is, there's a living being. If there's no manifestation, it's a non-living thing. Everything is nothing but consciousness and matter only. This we have to remember before we go ahead with the next lesson. That's why I wanted to reread all the verses again. So, if everything is matter, everything has what? Three gunas. Three gunas are another name for material product. Anything material is nothing but three gunas. But even though three gunas are there, now we have to see one more difference here. Everything is three gunas, but there is a difference in proportion of the gunas. In certain things, all the three gunas are there in everything. But certain things have predominantly sattvic. Certain beings have predominantly sattvic. other two gunas have the next place. Like this, the proportion of gunas, okay, differ in the things. But how, when the matter was before the manifestation of not consciousness, when there is just matter and consciousness, all the three gunas are in equilibrium. That I want to understand. Okay. Before the manifestation, before the universe becomes manifest, there is matter. There are three gunas. Three gunas are there in the form of matter. But how are the three gunas? When in unmanifest condition, when before the manifestation, there is just consciousness, unchanging consciousness, and the changing matter. It is there in unmanifest condition. Three gunas remain the same. There's no difference in proportion. All three gunas remain the same. Because all three gunas remain as one unmanifest power. You can't differentiate the three gunas. All three powers remain unmanifest as one power. Only one power. Then you call it what? Maya. Isn't it? You give a name Maya. So Prakriti before becoming manifest as the universe, it remains unmanifest. Means then all three, the powers remain unmanifest. And all three powers remain unmanifest. All the three gunas remain unmanifest as one. There's no difference. Only after manifestation, then the three powers become manifest as three gunas. Three powers becoming manifest as three gunas, then only the proportion vary. Proportion becomes different. It is something I wanted to understand. Therefore, we say the unmanifest situation is called at the time of deluge or pralaya avastha. Pralaya avastha means what? When the whole jagat is unmanifest, what happened? Whatever matter was there, same matter is now in the form of the whole jagat. So when everything was unmanifest, undifferentiated, what happened to three gunas? Three gunas were unmanifest. When three gunas were unmanifest, meant what? Three powers were unmanifest. When the three powers were unmanifest, what was only one power. One power. That's why all, then there's no difference there. What is capacity to know? What is jnana shakti? What is Ichcha Shakti? What is Kriya Shakti? All Shaktis in Pralaya Avastha, unmanifest situation, condition, all the three powers remain as, there's no separation. You can't differentiate, distinguish as the capacity to know, capacity to do, capacity to desire. That the differentiation is not possible. They remain as one. That's why, in unmanifest situation, condition, in pralaya avastha, all the gunas remain as one. They remain in equilibrium without any difference in proportion. Okay. And this, the Sankhya philosophers call this equilibrium of gunas as Guna Samyam means Gunanam Samyam. Or you can say Guna Samya Avastha. So Pralaya Avastha is a Guna Samya Avastha. Pralaya Avastha means that's the before unmanifest condition. When all the gunas remain as one without any difference in proportion, we call it, Sankhya philosophers call that state as Guna Samya Pralaya Avastha. Guna Samya Pralaya Avastha. When from the unmanifest condition, when the universe become manifest, when the creation begins, then what happens? Then there is no samyam. There's no more samyam. There's no more equilibrium, which means there is a proportion, the difference happens, the proportion differs. And that is said to be, and they also call it Vaishamya Avastha. Vaishamya Avastha. Vaishamya Avastha, Samya Avastha. Vaishamya Avastha means in creation there is a difference in proportion of gunas, which is called Vaishamya Avastha. In unmanifest situation, in Pralaya, they remain as one without any difference. It's called Gunasamya Avastha. So Pralaya Avastha is called Gunasamya Avastha. Srishti Avastha is called Vaishamya Avastha. Guna Vaishamya Avastha. Gunanam Vaishamya Avastha Srishti Stitihi. Gunanam Samya Avastha Pralaya Stitihi. Pralaya Kala. So all the gunas remain as one without any difference. All the gunas become all the gunas, when they become manifest, three powers become manifest as three gunas, then there is a Vaishamyam. There is a difference in proportion. They no more remain in equilibrium. Okay. Now, in every inert object, three gunas are there, which means tamoguna must be predominant. Tamoguna must be predominant in any inert object. Tamoguna is predominant means what? Tamoguna is predominant means there is no capacity to know. There is no knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, there is no knowledge. It is not possible for an inert object to know what else is there also. There is no such a thing called the capacity to know is not there on the part of an inert object. Which means the only tamoguna is the predominant guna in an inert object. Because it doesn't have any capacity to know. Otherwise, what will happen? All inert things will start running. No, because they don't do that. Because there's no knowledge of self-existence. There's no knowledge of existence of what is. It is just a jadam. We call it jadam in it. Suppose the sattva guna is there or not in a thing. Sattva guna is, but it is there. It is not dominant. Tamoguna is dominant. Tamoguna is predominant in an inert thing. And similarly, if you come to a living being from a non-living thing, if you move on to a living being, living creature, living being, you take in unicellular organisms. Before even going to unicellular organism, first it is the sthavara. So, we first use sthavara means non-living thing. We see in non-living thing, tamoguna is predominant. So that it does not know its own existence. It does not have the knowledge, capacity to know what else is there also. There's no knowledge at all. Tamas is total predominant. Now, if you move on to living beings, from non-living thing to living beings, first we say sthavara. Living beings are two types, sthavara and jangama. If we take the immobile living beings, what about immobile living beings? Immobile living beings, there is certain degree of sattvaguna and also rajoguna. Okay? Tamas is there, of course. Tamas is there, but certain degree of sattvaguna and rajoguna are there on the part of any living being. So, if you take sthavara, plants, they don't move. There's certain knowledge is there. You can see the knowledge is manifest, which means there's certain sattva guna, certain sattva, rajoguna also. You can see the movement of the plant. They grow. The growth implies the movement, motion. The matter is certain movement is there. Therefore, a certain degree of sattva guna and rajoguna, even the tamas is predominant. Okay, this is a, which is with reference to any living beings in the form of plants. And if you see the same Sattvaguna and Rajoguna, what about the mobile living beings like ants, etc., or even amoeba, paramecium? They all have Sattvaguna and Rajoguna. All living beings have Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, but Sattvaguna slightly still more. All basically all inert only. Tamoguna is predominant, but still the Sattvaguna is also there, but it will more sattva, more rajas. This is how we differentiate the living beings from the non-living things. One second, please. But how, what is the degree of Sattvaguna in a living being, like a plant and animals? So the degree, the proportion differs. Even though a living being like a plant has Sattvaguna, but the proportion is, the proportion varies from the Sattvaguna, the level of Sattvaguna, the degree of Sattvaguna obtaining in a plant is different from the degree of Sattvaguna obtaining in an animal. There's a difference. That is why the animal has certain capacity to move around. It can make out. It has certain more capacity to know. Sattva is more. We can't say they do not have any, like a human being. Not like a human being. There we, the difference is there. Similarly, even within this, apart from human beings, other non-living things, and we see other take other non-living beings, there's a sattva, more sattva, and then more rajas compared to non-living things. And animals have, so animals also, animals like big, huge animals like elephant, tiger, and all of them, they also have what? Sattvaguna, rajoguna. Even though they have, but still, the proportion varies. They have higher degree of Rajoguna and Sattvaguna because they can understand a lot of things. They are much better than, they can move from one place, they can make out the dangers, they can move, they have different. So there is a increased grade of, higher degree of Sattvaguna and Rajoguna when compared to. Now finally you come to human beings. When you come to human beings have, you know, Sattvaguna expressed in the highest form of Sattvaguna. The human beings have Sattvaguna and Rajoguna. Suppose Tamas is common in all of them. Tamoguna is there in common. But again, but the more predominantly Sattvaguna and Rajoguna are more predominantly there on the part of human beings. That is why human being is only human, is only being who is capable of knowing one's own existence. And is capable of knowing the existence of the world also. Thereby, a human being alone is capable of exploring what is in the world. He is capable of discovering what is in the world because of his, the predominance of Sattvaguna and Rajoguna. And he is capable of, not only he is capable of discovering, he is capable of making the best use of what he is able to discover also. Okay, he discovers trees, what the tree can be used for, what plant can be used for, which spice good for which food. It's all he discovers what is, and he also knows how to make use of them for his life. That means human being has amazing, tremendously increased, much higher degree of Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, and predominant on the part of human beings. Okay, not only that, and human beings, as he is the most sophisticated being, human being alone is capable of discovering even the reality of the whole Jagat. What is the reality of the Jagat? And this human being, which he is capable of discovering the reality of the Jagat, means he is that person, even among the human beings also, the person, even though every human being is capable of discovering, but every human being does not make use of the Shakti he has. The person who is able to discover what is the reality of the universe, in terms of Brahma Jnanam, that person is said to be the most predominantly sattvic person. A jnani, he must be the most sattvic. Most sattvic. So, ajnani also, the person who is predominantly sattvic, becomes eligible for discovering this truth, reality, eligible to attain Brahma Jnanam. This is how there's a difference. We have to understand the difference in how in Pralaya there is a Samya Avastha, in Srishti there is a Vaishamya Avastha. Samya Avastha of what? The Samya Avastha of, I mean, the similar condition of the gunas, all three powers. It means the gunas remaining in equilibrium is called pralaya avastha. In samya avastha, pralaye samya avastha, srishtau vaishamya avastha. So there's a proportion. It differs. There's no same proportion. And that differs from non-living things onwards, we can see. So everything is in and through completely pervaded by consciousness. And everything that is there, what is there is this matter. They're inseparably together. But one thing is, if the consciousness is not manifest, then we call it a non-living thing. If the consciousness is manifest, it is a living being. So between this living and non-living thing, we say non-living thing are predominantly tamasic. The tamoguna is predominantly non-living thing. Even though all the gunas are there. Sattva-guna, rajoguna, completely you can't even make out there. Whereas in living beings, sattva-guna, rajoguna are dominant. You can see they're dominant, they're expressed. Even among the living beings also, the dominance of rajoguna, sattvaguna, the proportion varies from being to being, from plant to beings like ants, etc., from then moving mobile beings, from there much higher. Again, you can go how other beings are different. The gunas differ. Even among this, suppose the domestic animals and also wild animals, there also rajoguna, sattvaguna, rajoguna, tamoguna, gunas are there. Even there, the proportion varies from animal to animal. The domestic cow, etc., are very docile. There the proportion sattva is more sattvic. We say sattvika pranihi. Go, that's why we worship cow. Because sattvika prani. Okay, and we pets, we have cats and cows, even the dogs, etc., the ferocious dogs are there. But still, cow is one thing which is we always worship because sattvika prani, we say. Why? Because cow has relatively more sattva dominant animal. And what about other tiger, etc.? The more rajas. Why I'm telling you all these things? Just to slowly take you to even human beings. And now when compared to all the living beings, a human species is the most sophisticated of all the species. Because all human beings are equally blessed with the knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, the human being knows his own existence. He is capable of knowing what else is the other than him. Even among the human beings, we differentiate the mental. From the standpoint of the mind, we differentiate the human beings. Okay? Is it clear now? Isn't it wonderful to know this? This is it. Now we come to human beings. Even among human beings, we have to differentiate now. How human beings also differ. Generally, when compared to all living beings, human being is is a most sophisticated being. Because, he has knowledge of self-existence and he is capable of knowing what else is other than him. He is capable of knowing the world also. But at the same time, the human being, there again among human beings we differentiate. Who is predominantly sattvic? Who is predominantly rajasic? It's only mind, okay? It's all the mind. The difference is based on the predominance of gunas in the mind only, mental condition. The physical body appearance in all of us are what? Flesh and bone and blood. There's no difference. All of us have the same flesh and bone and blood. So physical body, we don't differentiate. Physical bodies, the food, what you eat, there may be difference. Or maybe thin and fat, that's different. Okay. But mental condition, okay? The human being also, is it dragging? Can you hear me? Okay. Because only the actual teaching begins only hereafter. Until now, the teaching has not yet started. Only introduction. So human being also, we say, we differentiate. Among human beings also, that is what Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha. Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha. We're going to see later on. Okay. What about the human being? Who is the Brahmanaha? In Purusha Suktam beautifully says, Brahmano Syamukhamasit. So the whole cosmos has to be looked upon as one cosmic being. Do not, Veda Shastram teaches this fact. Do not look at the Jagat as an inert matter, material world. Look at the whole Jagat as one conscious being, one cosmic being. Okay? Bhagavan, the whole Jagat is one cosmic being, one being. And everything in this universe is interconnected. Everything is interconnected. Everything is connected to everything else. Just as every human being is one being, and your kidneys, your lungs, your heart, your all your organs are interconnected. One goes wrong, everything will go wrong. Similarly, you're one person, but how many things have to be in harmony? Your lungs, your kidneys, your heart, your bile, your all, every small organ inside, the pancreas, everything must be in harmony with everything else. Even one human being is a constituent of what? Many, many interconnected organs constitute one being. Similarly, the whole cosmos is one cosmic being having interconnectedness with everything else in the universe. Everything is connected to everything else. It's interconnection, one whole being. Here, everything is what? There is consciousness reality and the matter which is looked upon as manifest power of the reality. And this matter is what? Three gunas. In manifestation, there's difference in proportion of gunas. In unmanifest condition, there's no difference in proportion. They remain in equilibrium. Okay? In unmanifest condition, there's no difference. So in Pralaya Avastha, there is Samya Avastha. In Srishtav, it is a Vaishamya Avastha. That's okay. And how Vaishamyam? We saw non-living things and living beings. And among the living beings, a human being. Of the human beings also, we say, Brahmano Syamukhamasit, Bahura Janyasmrit. And who of the cosmic person? The Bhagavan, the whole Jagat is one cosmic being, means the Brahmanas. The people who are not, I'm not talking about by birth, okay? People who are predominantly sattvic minded. Sattva guna. Everything has all three gunas. The mind is predominantly sattvic. Then the people of sattvic minded people constitute what? The head of that cosmic being. Brahmano Asya Mukhamasit. And the people who are predominantly rajasic minded, they form the shoulder of this cosmic being. Bahura Janya Smritaha. then people who are predominantly rajasic, but the second quality is not sattvam, but rajas, the tamas. Then the vaishyas, uru tadasya vaishyaha. They form the thighs of the cosmic being. Padvyagum shudro ajayata. And people who are predominantly tamasic. Tamasic people. And for them, they form the feet of Bhagavan. So, nobody is looked upon as inferior. Feet are important, head is important. For a being, a whole being to be alive, to be healthy, feet must be in good condition. What then head? Head alone cannot move everywhere. Feet are important, thighs are important, shoulders are important, head is important. All people of all four gunas, okay, people of all four varnas, and classification of which is based on the predominance of gunas, all are important for the whole cosmic being to be functional. If the cosmic order has to be maintained, sustained, then all people are important. But at the same time, so this classification is amazing classification. This not, people talk about however developed other countries are, this is something amazing, which we see, we understand how human beings differ. Okay, it's not, difference is where you can't see the head and face and then stomach and then you can't make out difference. Difference is in culture. Difference is in maturity. Difference is in refinement. Difference is in behavior. Difference is in crudeness. Difference is in the polished behavior. So it's all expressions of what? Predominance of gunas. So you can make out the difference in gunas. Therefore, what I'm saying, how even this, the proportion varies from person to person. So sattva guna is predominant, sattva gunaha bhavati. When sattva is predominant, sattva guna remains, overpowering rajas and tamas. Okay, sattva guna remains, overpowering tamas and rajas. Sattvam rajas, that's why rajas, sattvam bhavati abhibhuya. So sattvam remains overpowering rajas and tamas. Then rajaha bhavati abhibhuya. Rajas also remains, when rajoguna is predominant, means rajas is there overpowering tamas and sattvam. And similarly, tamoguna becomes, tamoguna also is there overpowering sattvam and rajas. So each guna manifests itself overpowering the other two gunas. This is how, in keeping with the predominance of the gunas, this even we differentiate. In keeping with the difference in proportion of the difference in proportion of gunas, we differentiate the beings, non-living things and living beings, and living beings and other animals, plants and animals, and among the living beings also human beings. Of the human beings also, who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Vaishya, who is a Shudra, is based on this, based on the predominance of the gunas and keeping the difference in proportion of gunas. Okay. It's a big lesson this is. So rajaha bhavati. So when rajaha bhavati, sattvam bhavati, sattva gunaha bhavati means sattvam, in the person who is predominantly a sattvic person, sattvic minded, you take it as minded, okay, sattvic minded, then that person has sattva guna. He sattva guna overpowers what? Rajas and tamas. Okay, he is a sattvikaha purushaha. Now you can make out, in this verse Krishna teaches us, who is a sattvikaha purushaha? Sattvikaha purushaha is the one in whom sattva guna overpowers rajas and tamas. And rajasikaha purushaha, rajasaha purushaha. Who is rajasik person? Rajasik person is the one in whom rajas overpowers sattvam and tamas. And there is a tamasaha purusha. Only three people, okay? Sattvikaha, rajasaha, tamasaha. This rajasaha alone divided into two a Kshatriya and Vaishya. Okay. First understand three people. Sattvikaha Purushaha, Rajasaha Purushaha, Tamasaha Purushaha. From we start from here. And now we are going to understand Sattvika Danam, Sattvika Desire, Sattvika Anger. Everything you are going to see now. Beautiful. This whole chapter will enjoy hereafter. Until now, you might have felt a little tired and bored. But hereafter will enjoy the chapter. Because I have to come to this point. Now, who is a Sattvikaha? That is what is said in this particular verse. Okay, hereafter we can move differently. So, that's what Krishna said. If a sattva is predominant, overpowering rajas and tamas, then that person is a predominantly sattvic minded, sattvikaha purushaha. If a person is predominantly rajasic, if rajas overpowers sattva and tamas, he is a rajasaha purushaha. If a person has tamas, is a tamasic minded, means predominantly tamasic minded person, has tamas overpowering sattva and rajas. This is how we have three types of human beings also. These three types of human beings also will be divided into four later on as Kshatriya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. That we will see differently later on. But understand, let us see only this much. This is what I wanted to understand this for this verse. Rajas tamas chabhibhoya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva. Tamasattvam rajastatha. This is how there is a predominance of one guna overpowering the other two gunas. So I'm going to stop here. So we'll continue from next class. And any questions? Any questions from anybody? Because next class onwards, and we'll take off. We'll take off in a sense, we'll be seeing, it's a beautiful chapter. You will understand a lot of things here. Any question from anybody? Mangamma.
It's all very clear, Swamini, today.
Okay. Mainly, at least we should understand, you can say the whole jagat is nothing but three gunas. When you say whole jagat is three gunas, you can include your body, mind, is complex. But for you to know whether you are sattvikaha, rajasaha, tamasaha, which guna is predominant in you? Depending upon which is the guna which is predominant in you, you can say you are sattvikaha, tamasaha, rajasaha. And the Shastram teaches us the way of life for every human being. A person who is predominantly tamasic must become predominantly rajasic minded first. That's why Karma Yoga is taught. And a predominantly rajasic person has to become sattvika person, sattvika purusha. And a predominantly sattvic person should become a jnani. If he does not become a jnani, then all the gunas will bind him. All the gunas will make a person dependent on the world. But different dependencies are on different conditions. That's all. So dependence is there, bondage is inevitable. So jnanam is the only means. So Krishna is going to teach us, therefore may you become guna atitaha. Okay. Now guna atitaha. May you overcome these gunas. He's going to teach. We'll see in the next class. No questions today. But actually at last we've come to the point where the actual teaching of the chapter is going to begin only from here onwards. It's all introduction only.
Swaminyama, Hari Om. If someone is overactive, does that mean to be sattvic, that person has to be less active? Cut down in our activity.
Being active is right. Being active is nice. It is appropriate to be active. See, the being active means, depending upon the needs, a person can be active. That's okay. Everybody must be active. Nobody should be inactive. Must be active. But in how he is active. The person is active means in what sort of activities the person involves himself in. That is important. The activity means what? The activities, does he involve himself in activities which are harmful, which are non-righteous, which make him go against dharma, or whether he is involved himself in activities which are righteous activities. So being physically active is important. At the same time, there must be moderation in everything. We are going to see everything. Yukta hara viharasya. How to do enough. How not to over... How, okay, we will understand here everything. How to do... How to be active. How to be contributive. You must be active. It is impossible for one to be inactive totally. Being inactive is not right. Shastram, in fact, Shastram teaches us to become active. If you're inactive, means tamas will overpower you. So rajas is better than tamas. Because from being rajasic, it is possible for one to become sattvic. See, one cannot leap from being tamasic to sattvic. One cannot become overnight sattvic person. Okay? Because becoming mentally sattvic is very predominantly a sattvic mind person is important. To be sharp enough to be able to understand the Shastra. A person must become sattvic minded, only then Shastra will work for a person. For which one has to be rajasic first. Without being rajasic, one cannot leap from being tamasic to sattvic. Inertia, isn't it? So, overnight one cannot become sattvic. The gross minded should become subtle minded. For he has to become gradually subtle minded, then he has to become much subtler minded. So activity will help him become subtler. And as a result of which, he'll become the subtlest minded person. Then he will be more sensitized minded, refined minded. The raw headed has to become refined person. Uncivilized must become cultured, isn't it? So activities, being active is very important. Being active is not wrong. What I'm saying is naturally all the gunas are there. That is why all forms of activities are also possible. But predominantly, what is the guna? Rajas must be there. You can't give up Rajas. If Rajas is not there, you can't be active. Life involves all three gunas. You must sleep. If there's no tamoguna, you will not sleep at all. That's also important. Sleep is important also for health. That is different. But what all gunas are there, what one has to be mentally, mind must be predominantly sattvic mind. Yeah. Now predominantly tamasic mind, rajasic mind means how to convert the predominantly tamasic mind into a predominantly sattvic mind. How to convert the gross mind into a subtle mind. For which Shastra's way of life is prescribed. That's why Sanatana Dharmaha is eternal way of life is for a person to convert his tamasic mind, predominant tamasic mind into a sattvic mind. Become sattvic also, that's not enough. That's not stop there. Once you become prepared mentally, then you have to pursue jnanam and attain jnanam. So finally, the solution is only in jnanam. If you don't attain jnanam, even if you become sattvic mind, it is not enough. Still you will be bound. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Still sattvam will also, any guna will bind you. So a person who is predominantly rajasic and tamasic minded, they are not eligible for the attainment of jnanam. They will not be able to enjoy the benefit of jnanam also. We talk about mental purification, mental steadiness. That is possible only if a person is a sattvic minded. That's why karma yoga is prescribed. Karma yoga is to drive away the tamas from a person. You know, why karma yoga? Why grihastha ashrama? Tamas has to go, get up 4 times, feed the baby, look after, change the nappy, not easy joke, okay? Raising children, not easy joke. You send them to school, educate them and look after them, feed them, care for. Suggest tamas has to go. So that's it. Grihastha ashrama will make you do lot of, and then duties. It's all righteous duties, dutiful. That is why the duties are prescribed. These are all duties. There's nothing, it's not, you're not doing something simply unwanted. It's not simply doing something unnecessary, unwanted activities. You are doing relevant activities. So that it changes. So tamas has to drive away the tamas, ashrama actually is prescribed. Very nice. Now, only now the teaching begins. We'll stay from the next class onwards.
Thank you very much, Swami Nanda. Thank you.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you.